This is a picture of a bridge in Honduras. And Hurricane Katrina went through this area and rerouted the river and washed away the road either side of the bridge, but rerouted the river. And now, can you see? The bridge is now in the wrong place. Can you see that? And, you know, there's look at the bridge, because there's nothing wrong with the bridge. The bridge is intact, but it's now just in the wrong place, okay? And, you know, sometimes we can feel like this bridge. We can feel like, Lord, something's changed. And nothing happened to me, but everything around me changed. And now I can feel like, am I in the wrong place? I feel awkward. I feel a bit strange. And look at the bridge. There's nothing wrong with the bridge. It just needs to be moved, because things around it's changed. You know, sometimes we can think, oh, does the gospel really still work? Do we have to change what we preach and how we do the? No, it's just you might need to make a shift, because the things around us has changed. And sometimes your life can feel like this. Am I in the right, you know, the way I'm living, everything around me changes, everything. I don't know how this is going to end up. We can feel like this bridge. Personally, we can feel like this bridge. And as a church, we can feel like this bridge. And so this is what I want to talk with us today about, is what I'm calling, you've never been this way before. And sometimes in life, we can feel like, I just don't know. I've never done this before. I've never been this way before. In my life, I've never been this way before. In my church, I've never been this way before. What do I do next? And that's what I want to talk about today. I'm just going to pray, and because I want us to read this passage of Scripture. Listening to this phrase in this passage of Scripture, you have never been this way before. So let me just quickly pray. I know Elaine's just prayed for me, but let me just quickly pray and just ask the Lord just to help us as we listen to this word. So Jesus, I'm just asking you that as we read this scripture, would you highlight to us that which is for us here at Woolmer Road today? Lord, we pray that anything that would come in the time we have together here that only come to distract us, Lord, cancel that. And only let the thing that would enable us to be your people in this moment, let those things that would only come to be a transformational moment for us, let those things, Lord, be done in the time we have together here. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. All right, so I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3 in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Joshua chapter 3, 1 to 5. All right, so I'm going to read this, and I want you to be looking out for that phrase, you have never been this way before, and it's on the screen as well. Great. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to talk today about this idea, you've never been this way before. And Joshua is going to say to the people, a number of things that you do when you've never been this way before, never done it before, don't know how it's going to work out. You know, this might be strange, feels a bit more strange to you. Joshua's going to say to the people, here are some things we're going to need to do because we've not done this before, never been this way before, not had this experience before. Here's some things that we're going to need to do in order to get through this moment. And the first thing he says is, keep your eyes on the ark. We've never been this way before, so keep your eyes on the ark. Now, the ark was the visible sign of the presence of God. Because we can't see God, they couldn't see God either. They had a sign that said, when we see this sign, we know God is with us, because we can't see him. So when we see this sign, we know God is with us. So the ark was, it's like a box that carried with them. The ark was a visible sign of the presence of God. Now, you know, I live in Windsor. Now, if you were to come to Windsor, you just go down the 401, just keep going. And before you hit Detroit, you'll hit Windsor. Okay, so you just keep going. But how do you get to Windsor? If you've never been there before, you just follow the sign. Okay? So the ark was the visible sign of the presence of God. When they saw the ark, they said, God is with us, because we can't see God, but when we see this box, we carry it with us. When we see this, we know that God is with us. It's the sign that God is with us. It reminds me of when the writer writes to the church in Hebrews. I'm just going to read this for us. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Joshua says, keep your eyes on the ark, which is basically saying, keep your eyes on God. Hebrews, writing to the Hebrews, says this, therefore, since we're surrounded, this is Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is the bit I want you to hear. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer to the Hebrew church says, and the church that the writer to the Hebrew church is writing to, the church is actually a depressed church, a disillusioned church. They'd asked for things, prayed for things, and they'd not happened. They'd want to be vindicated, get us out of this, and they hadn't got out of it. Felt like God had let them down. And so the writer of the Hebrew church writes and says, I know you're depressed, I know you're discouraged, but fix your eyes on Jesus. All right? And notice also, the writer of the Hebrew church says, who for the joy set before him endured. Now, if I was to say to you, everything's going to be great, everything's going to be wonderful, you're going to be happy all the time, you're going to have joy all the time, you'll say, Sid, fantastic message. Thank you for the wonderful sermon. But if I say to you, look, you're just going to have to endure it. You're not going to enjoy anything. Just get through the thing. Just survive it. You'll say, Sid, terrible message. This is what the writer of the Hebrew church is saying. You're not going to enjoy everything. Just survive it. Who for the joy set before him endured. You're not going to enjoy it. The writer of the Hebrew church says, survive it. Outlive it. Outlast it. When it feels difficult, you don't know how to do this, you've never been this way before, just get through it. Just survive it. Just outlive it. Outlast it. Who for the joy set before him endured. Right to the Hebrew church says, how you do that is you fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And that's what Joshua says. When you've never been this way before, keep your eyes on God. No wonder Jesus cured blindness so often. Hey, there's a blind man, and he says, hey, what do you want me to do for you? He says, I want to see. No wonder Jesus cured blindness so often, because it matters what you see. Joshua says, fix your eyes on the visible sign of the presence of God. It matters what you see. Now, back in England, I pastored 3 churches. And my second church, some parents came to me and said, can you meet with our daughter because she's very depressed? And they said, and you be careful, Pastor, how you speak to our daughter. That's what they said to me. Be careful what you speak to our daughter, but can you see her because she's very depressed? So the daughter came into my office the daughter gave me a piece of paper like this with lots of writing on it. And on it, it said, I'm a horrible person, I'm ugly, I'm too thin, no one likes me. And she handed me this bit of paper on both sides, lots of writing like this. She handed me this bit of paper, I'm ugly, nothing works, everything I do goes wrong. She handed me this bit of paper and she said, I read this to myself every day. So she said, I'm an ugly person, I'm too thin. She said, I read this to myself every day. And I took this bit of paper and I was holding it in my hand. I was reading all these horrible things, all these negative things she'd written about herself. And Pastor Elaine, I had a very pastoral response to her. I held this bit of paper in my hand. I'm an ugly person. No one likes me. Everything I do goes wrong. Nothing will ever work in my life. All these words on both sides of the bit of paper. And I held it in my hand and I said to her, you must throw this stupid thing away, is what I said to her. Throw this away. Why? Because it matters what you see. You can't be a positive church thinking negative. You can't be a positive church speaking negative. You can't do it. You can't be a positive church thinking we're going to close. You can't be a positive church thinking no one's going to come. You can't move forward thinking, seeing negative. You must throw this away, is what I said. Why? It matters what you see. Joshua says, fix your eyes on God. That's how you move forward. Fix your eyes on God. Elijah, he says to his servant, they're surrounded. His servant says, we can't get out of this. And Elijah says, please, Lord, open his eyes. Why? It matters what you see. It matters what you see. It matters that you see that God is with you, God is for you, God is surrounding you. It matters what you see. The writer to the Ephesian church, Paul, he says, I'm not praying that this church grows. I'm not praying that this church gets big. I'm not praying you get a house. I'm not praying you get through persecution. What I'm praying for is that the eyes of your heart might be opened, that you might know God. That's what I'm praying for. That you might know God. That's it. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart might be opened. It matters what you see. You can't get through this unless you see God. It matters what you see. Joshua says, when you've never been this way before, fix your eyes on God. That's it. You can do that. Fix your eyes on God. And then he says, keep your distance. This is the next slide. Keep your distance. Now, we know what it's like to keep our distance because we've just been through a pandemic where we had to keep our distance, you see? We know what it's like to do that. I remember the first time I went to Walmart and in the pandemic, and it took me like maybe almost 40 minutes to actually get into Walmart. I had to line up outside. Do you remember doing that? Having to line up outside to get into the shops. And we know what it's like to keep our distance. Now, Joshua says, fix your eyes on God and keep your distance about 900 meters away from the ark that you're keeping your eyes on. Keep your distance from God. Now, why would he say keep your distance from God? The thought is this, that God loves mystery. He loves it when we trust him, even when we don't know how it's going to work out. So if Joshua is saying, keep your distance from God and trust him when you can't trace him. Trust him though you can't see him. Keep your distance and just trust him. Now, Moses, he was walking in the desert. He sees a bush burning. This isn't unusual in the desert. Bushes burn because it's hot. And he sees this bush burning and he says, oh, this is bush burning, but this bush is burning and it just keeps on burning. It's not stopping burning, it just keeps on burning. Now this is unusual. I'm going to go and see why this bush just keeps on burning. And so he goes to have a look at this bush, keeps on burning. And as he gets nearer to the bush, God says to him, Moses, stand still. Don't move. Don't come any nearer. There are some things I don't want you to know. Do you know, there's some prayers that you're praying that God will never answer. You can pray them all your life and you'll never get an answer. Why? Because he loves it when you trust him. There's some things I don't want you to know. I love it when you trust me. That's what God says. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God except by what? By faith. It's impossible to please God except by faith. It's the faith that trusts him. It's the faith that moves forward. Joshua says, keep your distance because God loves it when you trust him. When you follow him and you just trust him, even though you don't know how it's going to work out, you don't have all the answers, but you just trust him anyway. It says in Luke, it says, ask and you receive, seek and you find, knock and the door will be open to you. What if you were to pray as if all your prayers would be answered? It's not that all your prayers are going to be answered, but it's the faith that prays as if all your prayers are going to be answered that God loves. What if you were to pray as if all your prayers would be answered? Because it's the faith that pleases God. Joshua says, when you've never been this way before, trust God, depend on him, reject the fear that would paralyze you, and move forward by faith. Keep your distance. Habakkuk, he says, Lord, I'm hiding away. I'm harvesting my goods, hiding away, because every time people see my stuff, they steal it. And God, you don't do anything about it. You don't help us. You don't deliver us. People steal our stuff. And the reason I'm harvesting my things right now, hiding away, is because somebody will steal it. And then God speaks to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk says this. He says, oh, now I get it. The righteous live by faith. It's the faith that says, this isn't how it all ends. This isn't the end of it. The righteous live by putting their faith in God, says Habakkuk. Now I get it. Joshua says, keep your distance because God loves the faith that trusts him. The next thing Joshua says, you've never been this way before. Keep your eyes on God. Trust him in the mystery. And the next thing he says is the next slide. Consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Now this is 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu the king. Jehu the king, he decides everyone in the land is going to worship Yahweh. No idols, everyone's just going to worship Yahweh. And so he removes all these idols from the land and publicly everyone is just worshiping Yahweh. But Jehu the king decides, I'll worship Yahweh publicly, but me personally, I'm going to keep a few idols myself in my own house. No one needs to know about it, but a few idols just by myself. When I get home, no one can see. I have a few idols that I'm going to worship just myself. So public purity, but privately worshiping idols. Joshua says, consecrate yourself to the Lord, which means no private idols or no idols in the church even. Do you know, even a church can have idols. Now, my first church, young pastor, I was in my 30s then, and my first church was a church with 19 people in my first church. And how do I know those 19? Because I counted them every week. See how every week I was seeing, was there any more? No, this is still the same 19. Every week I had 19 people. And round about the second hymn, an old gentleman used to sit on the front row, round about where Elaine's sitting. Oh, used to sit on the front row, and round about the second hymn, every week, he was asleep, round about the second hymn. So I had 18 people awake, one always asleep. You know, that was my first church, you see. And a very traditional church, very traditional Baptist church. We had the pulpit here, and the communion table was right here next to the pulpit. And so I couldn't move, you see. So one day I thought, I'm just going to move that communion table. And so I just moved it. I didn't move it off the stage. I just moved it to the side a bit more to give myself more space. I just moved the communion table. And in the week, one of my deacons was in the church and I was in my office. And I went into the church, say, "Hey, how are you doing? One of my deacons, nice to see you." And my deacon immediately burst into tears. Tears shot from the eyes. There was uncontrollable crying, shaking of the body, and oh, crying and weeping. And I thought something serious must have happened. Something must have died. I said, "What's the matter? What's wrong?" And my deacon said, this is the truth. And this is exactly as it happened. My deacon said, "Pastor, you've moved the communion table. She was weeping and crying and was shaking. Oh, Pastor, is this how it's going to be? You've moved the communion table." Now, in my first church, we worshiped the furniture. I'm telling you, we did. We worship God and we worship the furniture. Joshua says, no idols. No idols in the church. No idols in your life. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. No idols in your life. No idols in your church. Let me give you four or five ways that I know that you've consecrated yourself to the Lord. The first way I know is you will have read the Bible. I'm not saying you've read some of it, most of it, chunks of it, parts of it. I'm saying you've read it. Have you read the Bible? From the beginning right through, have you read the Bible? This is how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord, because you will have read the Bible. And if you've not read the Bible, now's the time to start. You just start at the beginning. There's things you can get, and I'm sure Pastor Elaine can help you get things that can help you read it throughout the year. But this is how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord, is that you will have read the Bible. Another way I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord is that you will, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast, or if you feel like it, then go ahead, do it. He doesn't say that. He says, when you fast, which means that he's expecting us to put prayer and fasting together. And to be, this is how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord, because in every given month, there's going to be an opportunity where you've put prayer and fasting together. That's how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord. Another way I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord is that you will move from becoming a consumer to a contributor. Now, we all come to church as consumers because we need Christ, we need his forgiveness, we need love, and we need fellowship, and we come as consumers. This is what I need and what I come to receive. But I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord because you don't just stay as a consumer, you become a contributor. You say, where can I serve? Who can I encourage? Where can I give? Who can I pray for? Who can I support? You become a contributor, not just a consumer. A consumer comes to church saying, is the building warm enough? Do I like the sermon? Do I like the worship? I say, I didn't know the worship was for you, but you come saying, did I like the worship? Did I like the worship? Was it building warm enough? Did people speak to me? That's a consumer. But a contributor comes saying, who can I love? Where can I give? Where can I serve? Who can I encourage? Who can I bless? That's a contributor. I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord because you move from being a consumer to a contributor. Where can I give? Where can I serve? How can I? And everyone in this church should be serving somehow here. You become a contributor, not just a consumer. Another way I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord is that you have a disposition of thankfulness. Now, I was in Winners, and there was this long line in Winners. And I had my teenage daughter there with me at the time, and my son, who was almost a teenager, with me in the line in Winners. And I was just thinking of all the things God has done for me. Do you do this sometimes? You just recall how God saved you, how he's delivered you, how he's had mercy on you, how there's things he's got you out of. You didn't know how you're going to get out of them, but God just delivered you. I was just thinking of how he's taken me thousands of miles from my home and brought me to a country that I love and the people I love and the churches I love. And I was just so grateful how he's provided for me. And I was just thinking of all the ways God had blessed me. And I thought it was my inside voice, but my outside voice said, oh, this is a wonderful day. Oh, this is wonderful. And I was in the line in Winners. And my teenage daughter, my teenage son, they went like this. They went, oh no, Dad's done it again. This is how I know you have consecrated yourself to the Lord, is that you'll find a way to say thanks to God. You'll just find somehow, you know, sometimes we don't always need a worship leader to kind of get us going. We don't always need somebody at the front to kind of get, we'll just have a good memory. You'll just remember something and you'll just find a way to say thank you to God. This is how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord, is that you'll have a disposition of thankfulness. It's easy to be negative. Oh, anyone can do that. But get a disposition of thankfulness. All you need is a good memory. That's all you need. Because you know how God's helped you, healed you, saved you, delivered you, how he's provided for you, how you're standing here today, or sitting here today. You know it was God. All you need is a good memory. You'll have a disposition of thankfulness. This is how I know you've consecrated yourself to the Lord. Joshua says, consecrate yourself to the Lord, no idols. Give yourself fully to God. He says, hey, when you've never been this way before, keep your eyes on God. When you've never been this way before, trust him in the mystery. You don't know how it's going to work out, but just trust him in the mystery. And he says, consecrate yourselves to the Lord. And then he says this final phrase here, he says, consecrate yourself to the Lord, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. But it's almost as if the precursor to that, the prelude to that is that I consecrate myself to the Lord, that we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, that we focus on God, that we fix our eyes on Jesus, that we trust him, that we have faith, though we don't know how it's going to work out. We just do it by faith. We step forward by faith. The prelude to God doing amazing things is those things. He says, do those things because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And this is where we began. When we began, I was saying, hey, Wilma, this is amazing what you're doing. Why? Because the prelude to God doing amazing things is that consecration, that focusing, that exalting the name of Jesus, that focusing on God. And God, says Joshua, do those things. And God, says Joshua, will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, for tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. There is nothing in this world that can win against the people who know their God. There is nothing. Paul says, what opposition is there for a God who gave his only son? What can he not also give you? There is nothing. Paul says, with God, I can scale a wall. He says, there is no opposition I cannot get over. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. Focus on God. Have faith, because tomorrow, I pray that, Wilma Road, this is a word for you, that tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That this is not how it ends. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I'm so glad, and I'm sure you are too, that God does not need or rely on us to get it done. We rely on God to get it done. You see? And so with God, wow, who can be against us? Consecrate yourself to the Lord, because tomorrow, who will do? Who? God will do amazing things among you. God will do amaze. I pray this is a word for you today. I pray this is a word not just for you as a church. I pray this is a word for you in your life, for me in my life. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.